Hour number two. Don't forget the golf hour at 6. We've got a lot to talk about with round one of the British Open in the books. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing. Well, I've been saying for about the last 6 or 7 weeks, I think the Oakland A's are the best story in baseball. And here they are at the All-Star break, very much fighting for a playoff position in a real race with Seattle. The Bay Bridge series continues tomorrow. Of course, over the weekend in San Francisco, Oakland took 2 of 3, and they'll resume the series in Oakland tomorrow. And of course, we'll have it for you right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. And when you tune into the game, you'll be hearing the voice of the A's, Ken Korak, who joins us now. Ken, it's Grant Napier. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, Grant, it's always great to be with you. Thanks.
Again, I think the A's are the best story in baseball through the first half of the season. If they're not, I don't know which team I would choose, but give me your thoughts on what you've seen from this club. It's pretty remarkable.
It's hard to argue what you're saying, Grant, considering that they've won 21 out of their last 27 games. So it's been a remarkable run. And I don't think people expected this. Those of us who've been around the A's for a long time, we've gotten used to some of these remarkable runs by the A's in the second half, but I think the consensus was going into this year, Grant, that this club might have been a year or two away. So you're right. It's been a pretty special first half of the season so far.
And you got to feel real good if you're playing for the A's and you have the lead going into the eighth inning. What a nice 1-2 punch from the eighth to the ninth. I mean, and that, you know, listen, if you're going to be good and you're going to win, you got to have the back end of the bullpen do the job. And boy, have we seen that.
You're right. They've been lights out. They're the only team in baseball that hasn't lost a lead after the seventh inning, hasn't lost a game that they've led after seven. And as you know, Grant, because you've been around sports for a long time, when you have an exceptional year like the A's are having, some things have to happen. People have to come out of nowhere. And Lou Trevino has been one of the best stories in baseball. He could have made the All-Star team. Here's a guy who was in spring training, but he was not on the map, wasn't on the radar. There was no way he was going to make the club coming out of spring training. Then out of necessity, he came up, and he's been almost unhittable. The combination of Trevino and Trinan, they've been lights out, and they're almost like mirrors of each other. I think hitters think, we just saw this one guy, now the next guy's coming in. He looks almost the same.
All right, here we are coming up on the trade deadline, and you have been through this so often where the A's are sellers. Will they be a buyer? We know they have some very nice assets down on the farm. Give me your thoughts on what you think the A's may need position-wise to make a real bona fide run at the playoffs this year.
Well, if it was me, and well, first of all, let me preface by saying that I dare not predict what Billy Beane and Dave Forrest might be doing, might think.
Right.
Because having done this for 23 years, and Billy always seems to shock us and come up with something creative, I would think a starting pitcher and a relief pitcher would be on their radar. I think from a position player standpoint, they're not looking for a whole lot of help. And I've equated this year a little bit, Grant, with 1999, where the A's had a young and emerging club, and I don't think anybody expected them to win the division that year, but they hung in there until the next last week of the season. And the moves that Billy made were under the radar. They weren't high-profile deals, nothing to knock your socks off, but deals that were made to give the team a boost and give them the sense that they were playing meaningful games down the stretch. Because even if you don't make it to the postseason this year, that experience of being in it can be invaluable. So I would expect that he might make a couple. I don't think you're going to see a blockbuster deal, but I think something to bolster the club. I would expect that.
And, you know, obviously, I'm not saying that Houston's out of reach, but I don't see that. I mean, I think you've got to be realistic here. We're talking about a wild card. And, you know, I'm looking at Seattle and what they may do. They don't have a lot of assets on their farm system. They don't have a lot to play with here. Do you see this thing? When you talk about the remaining games, are we talking about the head-to-head? Because, you know, there's a lot of games remaining here in the second half between the A's and the Mariners. Give me your thoughts on the Mariners and what you see from them.
Well, first of all, this is where it really gets fun, right? You're starting to think about the schedule in the second half. Great thing for a fan. The A's have 10 games left against the Mariners, Grant, and 7 of those are at home. So, and the A's, you know, they're 3 behind the wild card. They're right there. The division's maybe a little more out of reach, but they can't afford a major slump in the second half, like 10 out of 12 or something. But those head-to-head matchups will go a long ways toward deciding that second wild card. I really like the Mariners club. They've won a ton of one-run games. They've got an amazing production out of their closer, Edwin Diaz. Whether or not they can sustain all this, because their run differential would indicate they're not as good as their record, But teams have won. They've won big and without a great run differential. So, you know, I think right now they might be feeling a little pressure, realizing it doesn't look like the A's are going away.
Ken Korak joining us right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. You know, again, I get the fact that when you win, guys have fun. But when I watch the A's play, and we've talked about this so many times in the past, it just seems to be a real good clubhouse. Comment on that.
It's also a group of guys, Grant, that came up together in the minor leagues. Now, not all these guys, but the core of young players, the guys like Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and Chad Pender, who has a lot of leadership qualities, even though he doesn't play every day, they're used to winning. They get along great, and they also have a wonderful ability to kind of keep things on an even keel. I don't think what they're doing is surprising them, and even after some really tough losses, like the loss they had on a Tuesday in Houston, when Lucroy threw the ball down the line, people were saying, well, this was going to be devastating. Well, they came out and they won the next day. So to be an effective, to be a winning team, you know, you have to kind of have that baseball mentality where you don't get too high or too low. It's a great group to be around. It really is. And so you're right about the clubhouse chemistry.
We're talking with Ken Korak. Talk about, I know that maybe the fans get more into this, and maybe I'm wrong here, but the A's have quite a few players from the Bay Area. When the A's play the Giants, and we talk about interleague play, we talk about 162 games, is it more than playing other teams? Do the players in the clubhouse get a little more oomph when they're playing in the Bay Bridge series?
I don't necessarily think there's more oomph just because it is the Giants. But I think because they have guys who are from here, and the A's have quite a few, and even in their starting lineup, and, you know, Mark Canna, after he hit the big home run against the Giants last weekend, that was a big deal for him because he grew up in the South Bay and he went to a lot of Giants games. So there are a lot of guys like that. And I think with any player, and honestly with any broadcaster or for that matter fan, when you go to a ball game and there's great intensity in the ballpark, yeah, you're going to get a little more fired up. I mean, that's just natural. And I think that they might hit about 150,000 fans for these three games over the weekend, Grant. So how can you not be amped up if you're in that kind of environment?
They're opening Mount Davis for Saturday, correct?
They are. They're the upper reaches of Mount Davis, and they're hoping for, I don't know how many, 55, 56,000. They're trying to set the all-time Oakland A's record, which I think is about 56. They can't open it tomorrow because they have fireworks.
Oh, okay.
So because of the fireworks display, you can't have anybody sitting up there. So now what are you going to do with all those people once the fireworks go off? So logistically, they just couldn't do it tomorrow night.
Awesome. Tomorrow, Saturday night, it's Saturday evening, right? Is it a six o'clock start on Saturday?
Yeah, 6:35, 6, and 1:05 over the weekend.
Gotcha. The health of this ball club right now as we start the second half, how is it?
It's good, except with the pitching, and they're starting to get their starters back healthy. I don't know the A's rotation over the weekend yet, but I would assume that Trevor Cahill will make one of those starts, so he's coming back. He's made one start since coming off the DL. You know, Daniel Mingden was activated off his DL stint and optioned down to AAA, so they're starting to get healthier in their rotation. Now, they have guys that are out for the year, but you know, it's pretty amazing that they've done what they've done with 12 different starting pitchers this year. So that was the biggest area of concern for me. And they are starting to get healthier in their rotation.
And I'll tell you what else is fun. And I'm talking about this being with the A's organization as their broadcaster. Let's face it, the wild cards are either going to be New York, Boston, Seattle, or Oakland. And the beauty of this thing is if you get in, no one's going to be taking the A's or the Mariners to beat the Yankees or the Red Sox in a one-game playoff. But this is baseball, and just get in, baby. I mean, that's all that matters. And I at least the A's are in the mix. And I got to tell you, Ken, again, I've been saying this for weeks now. I think this is the best story in baseball. And listen, I said this on Twitter the other day. I said, raise your hand if you had the A's way ahead of the Giants at the All-Star break. And again, I understand the National League, Mary League, but raise your hand if you had the A's in the playoff race at the All-Star break. This is just amazing. I hope it continues. I mean, how much fun is this, Ken?
It's great fun, and there's nothing more fun, and for your fan base, too. When you have a chance in the second half and the momentum builds and the energy builds, Grant, there's nothing like it. Because it's a long season. You want to have something to play for.
Yeah.
I think baseball has done it right. I wouldn't want to see any more postseason teams because then it gets watered down. baseball is one of those sports where every game means something, and they're all going to mean something for the A's the rest of the way. And like you said, I mean, teams have gone from the wild card to the World
Series. Yes.
So it doesn't mean you can't. I mean, you don't have a great shot because you play only one game, but look what happened with the Royals in 14. And crazy things happen in the postseason, and we could talk on and on about that, about the stuff that's happened to the A's, most of it negative.
Yep.
In some of the short postseason series, but that's an example of how unpredictable the postseason is.
Last question. There was a big trade during the All-Star break. It was completed with Manny Machado going to the Dodgers from Baltimore. Give me your thoughts on that.
It didn't surprise me at all. I mean, it seemed to be in the works for a long time. The Orioles had an extremely poorly constructed roster with top-heavy with salaries, guys like Chris Davis, who was having an awful year, and that's going to be an albatross for them. So at some point, you have to take a step back and look at your club objectively. And I think they had to do this to try to make the first step toward rebuilding their club. And then when Seager got hurt, the Dodgers needed it. I mean, Chris Taylor's done a nice job there, but I think they prefer him in center field. And so to get a shortstop like Machado, that's a huge move for them.
Ken, great stuff. Enjoy the second half. We always appreciate you coming on the show.
We always appreciate everything you guys do for us, so thanks for having me, Grant.
That's great. That's Ken Korak. Great having him on. And again, guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. We're back with more right after this. All right, we are back with you. Sports 1140, KHTK. Again, the A's and the Giants tomorrow, game one of the three-game set. Talking a little bit about the trade today in the NBA, and again, I don't understand. Help me if you disagree, and you'd have to convince me. If you're a general manager of an NBA team, why would you want Carmelo Anthony on your team? Like, you know, we keep on hearing Houston, after Atlanta reportedly will waive Carmelo Anthony. What is it about Carmelo Anthony that the Houston Rockets are enamored with? Help me out here. Like, what's he going to do for the Rockets? He's going to score? Well, they don't need scores. They already have scores. Going to play defense? No. They had two very good defenders. They just lost them. One the Phoenix, one the Clippers. Trevor Ariza and Luke Baamute. What's he going to do for Houston? I love Dennis Schroeder on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think that's a very good move for them. Very good move. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony going to the Houston Rockets, and again, I'm saying if he ends up in Houston, boy, oh boy. I mean, that makes no sense to me at all. None. And I think Houston, they did not get any better. They did not get any better. All right, the news is official out of Oakland. As we mentioned 2 days ago about the voice of the Raiders no longer, and that's Greg Papa. And if you read some of the stories from the Bay Area, whether it's the San Jose Mercury News or other media outlets, they feel that this has everything to do with Mark Davis and that Greg Papa and Mark Davis just never were on the same page. Now, I don't know, other than what I have been told. I have my own information that I will not divulge until I hear Greg on Monday, because I think that everyone owes it to Greg to let him explain it however he wants on his radio show Monday. I'm not going to do it for him because, number one, I don't know if I have the information correct, although I think I do. And number two, it's not my place. I've known Greg for a long time. I respect Greg. I think he's a tremendous football announcer. But, I mean, you want to replace Greg Papa with a 79-year-old Brent Musburger? Again, when's the last time Brent did radio play-by-play? And trust me, radio play-by-play is night and day different from TV play-by-play. And I'm not saying that Brent can't do it. All I'm saying is football is a very fast-moving game. And I don't know if Brent Musburger is going to be able to paint the picture well enough so we know what's going on when we're listening to a Raiders game. I'm not saying he can't do it. He's one of the greatest sports announcers in the history of the profession, of all of sports. He's the Mount Rushmore of sports broadcasters. But when's the last time Brent Musburger did a football game on radio? I you'd have to help me on that. I don't know. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And I haven't heard officially, unless it's already out and I did not see it, whether Lincoln Kennedy is joining Brent Musburger up in the booth as the analyst coming from the sideline upstairs. I would believe that would be the case. But I'd love to know from Raider fans how you feel about this. Let me know at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, and we get to Dan. Hello, Dan.
How you doing, Grant?
Dan, what's up?
Hey, I'm not a Raider fan. I grew up in Connecticut, so unfortunately I've been a Jet fan my whole life. But when I look at this Greg Papa thing, it would be like the New York Rangers telling Sam Rosen to hit the road, and they're going to replace him with an 80-year-old guy on a 3-year contract that has no relation to the team whatsoever. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know what? It's a great analogy. I don't get it either. You're right. That's exactly what it would be like.
Musburger, I know he's been in the industry forever, but this may date me, but my biggest recollection of him was him sporting that black eye when Jimmy the Greek punched him in the face.
Well, Brent Musburger is one of the true great talents in the history of sports broadcasting, but I don't know when's the last time he's done a game on radio. And I will tell you, radio play-by-play is not easy. It is very difficult, and you have to be unbelievably sharp, and you have to be able to – there are a lot of things you have to be able to do. And I'm not saying Brent can't do it, but I really question whether he can do it.
Well, his last TV game that I recall him doing a big college game was kind of weird.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where this whole thing fits in. I'm like, is Mark Davis trying his hardest to just rid himself of any semblance of the Al Davis era? I mean, move to Vegas, get rid of the voice. I mean, what's next? Tear the eye patch off the emblem?
Listen, it certainly appears that way. And if that were the case, Lincoln Kennedy wouldn't be joining Brent Musburger in the booth, because Lincoln is the former outstanding right tackle of the Oakland Raiders. But I say that, and Lincoln is tremendous, and he should be in the booth. Why would Mark Davis bring back John Gruden then if that were the case? Wasn't John Gruden the best thing that the Raiders have had happen to them since maybe John Madden?
That's true. Hey, on a different topic, you may have some insight on this. I just haven't heard anything about it. Is there any news on the sale of the Knicks and the Rangers?
No, I didn't know they were up for sale.
Yeah, I read something that Dolan was gonna sell the team.
Well, thank God. I mean, that would be the best.
That's why I was looking for more information.
I have not heard that. It's news to me. I've never heard that. But I will tell you this. I mean, if the Knicks were sold, you might have a ticker tape parade down Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. Well, and for me, my big thing with him was when he traded Callahan for the Rangers, and then the next day signed Phil Jackson for $60 million when they were only $500,000 apart with Callahan.
Yeah. I have not heard that. I have not heard that he is selling the Knicks or the Rangers. Now, you know, I'll ask you this, because I've wondered this myself. He owns both franchises, and the Rangers, during the era of where the Knicks have been horrible, the Rangers have been very, very good, went to the Stanley Cup Finals, have had some real good championship-caliber teams. Does he just totally not have anything to do with the hockey team, where he stays away? I mean, is that what goes on there?
From what I've been reading, he's getting rid of all the teams. So I don't know what that means.
That would be the worst. That would be the best news for a New York sports fan of those two franchises.
Well, you know, one of the other shows, I think it was The Lowdown, was talking about the top five worst owners in sports. And I put, you know, they were talking Jerry Jones and things like that, but I put Dolan up there because he ruined multiple franchises.
No, there's no question.
Just one team.
Yeah.
He had the Knicks, the Rangers, and the New York Liberty.
Yeah.
He hired Isaiah Thomas to run the Liberty after he lost the sexual harassment suit with him.
Yeah, no, listen, I have nothing. James Dolan is, wow, yeah. Hey, thank you for the call.
All right.
Appreciate it very much. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to more of your phone calls. As I take you right up to 7, we've got the Golf Hour at 6. Christopher, Mad Dog Russo, he's coming your way at 5 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Doug is off today. Grant Napier, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I did not watch all of the ESPYs, but I went and watched the segments that I wanted to watch online. And the two things that stick out, the speech by Jim Kelly with the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance. If you did not see that 5.5 to 6 minute speech, go just Google Jim Kelly because you need to see it. And then I saw Allie Raisman, and it was an incredible, powerful moment when she was joined on stage by 140 of Larry Nassar's victims uniting on stage. And, you know, if you have nothing else that you're going to do today, make sure that you go back and watch both of those, because a powerful, emotional, and incredible. I'll leave it at that. All right, let's get to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Grant. First time, long time. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and talk about Greg Papa no longer calling the Raiders. It's a I hate to say I'm a lifelong Raider fan, but it's a typical Raiders move. I'm driving home from work right now, and I'm going to have a hard time explaining to my 5-year-old son why the touchdown Raiders guy isn't going to call the games anymore. Thanks, man.
Well, I want to hear from more Raider fans about this, because I think the fan base in Oakland right now is so darn confused. That and again, maybe I'm completely wrong here. The team's leaving. Are they leaving after this year, or are they leaving after next year? All right, Greg Papa has been, you know, after Bill King, it was Greg Papa. And now all of a sudden it's Brent Musburger. Brent Musburger, for crying out loud. And what... So Brent, let's just be honest here. Brent is a very short-term tenure with the Raiders coming up, right? So then what's Mark Davis going to do after that? Is he going to hire a person that lives in Vegas? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, what is the... I'll tell you something else, and I'm just going to call it the way it is. I've announced many NFL games at the Oakland Coliseum. It is not a good place for seeing the field because it's a circular stadium, and the broadcast position is in the middle of the field, but it is where, because it's a circle, it's the farthest point from the football field. In other words, where we broadcast from at the Oakland Coliseum for a football game, and again, the radio booth is right next to the TV booth, it is far from the field, all right? Like, I'm just telling you, like, the play in the far end zones and in the far side of the corners of the end zones, I got to believe Brent Musburger is going to be announcing these games off his monitor in his booth. I'm just calling it the way it is. I just, this is not a good situation. And I am a huge, with a capital H, I am a huge Brent Musburger fan. I love Brent Musburger. But I have real reservations about whether Brent Musburger at age 79 is going to be able to keep up with the pace of the NFL on radio play-by-play. He hasn't done radio play-by-play forever, to the best of my knowledge. This is not just like getting on a bike. Trust me on this, all right? It's not. And again, I'm a huge, huge Brent Musburger fan. But, I mean, come on now. I don't get it. I really don't. By the way, Christopher Mad Dog Russo going to check back with us at 5:30. Missed his train. How do you miss? I mean, come on. I'll be getting on his case for missing the train. Is he going to miss his flight over to Scotland next year, too? Come on now. Anyway. You know, and I listen to Brent every week with my good friend Christopher Mad Dog. Or, he is on every week during the football season. They talk gambling. Because, you know, Brent is now affiliated with a casino and he's in the gaming business. Now, is he going to maintain his present position in the gaming industry? I don't know. I'm just asking. But I don't know. I don't know. I am so surprised by this. All right. And I'll tell you what else. I got a little advice for Lincoln Kennedy if he's going to be in the booth with Brent. Do not step on Brent. Let Brent talk until he stops talking. Because if you remember, when Brent Musburger was asked what he thought of Tony Romo after he did a couple of games for CBS, Brent said this, all right? Tony, get off it. First of all, you're intruding on your play-by-play man, Jim Nance, who's just trying to give us the scene. And the more years you spend away from the league, you're going to know less and less about the personnel that's out on the field. So I'm blowing a stop the hype right now. That was from Brent Musburger. I'm just telling you, folks. Hey, Link, I don't know where you are, but make sure you don't step on Brent. You better make sure that Brent is able to start the play, finish the play, and have Brent give you eye contact when it's okay for you to start talking, Link. Wow. And again, I am a gigantic Brent Musburger fan, but I don't think this is going to work. I just don't see this working. I really don't. I don't see it. Give me your thoughts at 339-1140. 800-920-1140. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Yeah, I get a couple people asking me about, you know, his comments that he made about, what wasn't it back then, Jen Sturger, back in the early 2000s? Come on. You know what I mean? Can we move on from that, please? I can't believe it's social media. You know, I get it. I mean, I've gotten no, we're going to go back to something he said in 2005. Really? Can we move on from that, please? Please? So, I don't know what happens if this does not work out. In other words, let's just say that after a couple of games, this is a disaster. Now, I don't think it's going to be a disaster. I mean, we are talking about a Hall of Fame, incredible, iconic broadcaster. All right. So I can't really imagine it being a disaster. All right. Now I get someone else asking me about Catherine Webb. Are we really getting caught up that he called Catherine Webb a lovely and beautiful woman during the national title game? I get. What did he say to Kirk Herbstreit, right? What did he say to Herbie, who was a quarterback at Ohio State? Didn't he say, you quarterbacks get all the good-looking women? Well, like, are we really getting bent out of shape over that? I mean, why would anyone get offended over that? I mean, come on. Brutal. I'm looking it up online right now. Brent, he had to talk about this. He said, hey, I had just been out to dinner with Herbie and his wife the night before, so the rest of the comments were addressed to him. I thought it was silly to tell you the truth. I agree with you. That is silly. After this all went, like, what, just recently said, hey, he was asked about A.J. McCarron and his girlfriend. He goes, I wish them the best. And A.J., I'm glad they're happily married. I hope they live happily ever after. Catherine remains beautiful, in my opinion. You know, if we get to a point in our society where you can't, you know, say that someone is beautiful, I mean, we're talking about Brent Musburger on television saying that A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, Catherine Webb, is beautiful. Like, why would people get upset over that? Brent Musburger we're talking about. You know, could have it been better left unsaid? Hey, listen, she is beautiful. All right? I know it's subjective, but, I mean, I think if you took a poll during that game and you had both men and women polled and you said, hey, here is an individual, do you think that this individual is pretty or beautiful or good looking? I got to believe that, you know, the poll from men and women would be very, very high that, yes, that individual is a very pretty, beautiful, good looking individual. Like, I don't understand why people get so bent out of shape over that. I really don't. All right, let's get to Ben. Hello, Ben. How are you?
How are you doing, Grant?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I love hearing Doug talk. As a lifelong Raider fan, Oakland Raider fan, I think it is freaking dumb. Let us have our Oakland Raiders for the last remaining year, possibly two, and then make your change to Brent. Brent's wonderful. Brent's a professional. He's awesome. But they're ripping the heart out once again of the Oakland Raider fans. I understand Mark Davis rebranding and angling everything for the new state, for the new city of Vegas. But please, for Christ's sake, let us have our Oakland Raiders for the two remaining years that we get to have.
Yeah, well, Mark Davis doesn't care about the fans. That's pretty obvious, and I've said that for years. He doesn't care about you, the fans. Couldn't care at all. Does this seem like a guy that cares about the Raider Nation? Come on now.
No, he does not care about the Raider Nation. That's been obvious since the passing of Al Davis. And I just think he's trying to separate Mark Davis from Al Davis. And by doing that, getting rid of the East Bay, getting rid of the Oakland Raider fans, getting away from the blue-collar tradition of the Oakland Raiders, and now going to the Silver State and trying to polish up this turd that he's creating for this new fan base. Never mind the old fan base. We're moving on to the new one. And it's just disgusting. I will always be a Raider fan, but I'm not happy about that. That's all I got to say, Grant.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's get to Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Grant. How are you?
Good.
Hey, you know, I travel, you know, to the Bay Area a couple times a week, but I listen to the game sometimes in the morning. And from what I heard, Greg wasn't interested. I don't know if he wasn't interested in traveling with the team or, you know, going with the team to Oakland. I mean, to Vegas. Sorry.
I find that really. I don't believe that. And if Greg comes on the air on Monday and says that, I still don't. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know what? Here's what I know. Okay, there are 32 jobs in the NFL. There are 32 local play-by-play announcers, and I can't imagine anyone. And I want to repeat, I cannot imagine one individual that is a professional announcer with a team having a problem getting on a plane and flying 1 hour there and 1 hour back to do an NFL game. I got to tell you, I don't think they exist.
Yeah, and you know, you might be correct there, but that's just kind of what I heard, and I don't know, you know, like you said, if it's true, false, or maybe
I'm telling you right now, if Greg Papa goes on the air Monday and says that's the reason, I'm going to come on the air at 3 o'clock and say, you know what, I love Greg, I respect Greg, but he's full of it, because that's nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we love him, you know, as Raider fans. You know,
he's the voice of the Raiders without a doubt.
And I'm just telling you, I've been in this business a long time, and I know a lot of people. All right, and I'm telling you right now, okay, it is so hard to get a team, get a job as an announcer for a team, whether it's the NHL, whether it's the NBA, MLB, or NFL. All right, these jobs are like gold, and when you get one, you do everything you can to hang on to it. I'm just telling you, there's no way in the world that Greg Papa decided that he didn't want to do the Raiders anymore because he would have to get on a plane and fly an hour. Okay, and let's just say, for sake of argument, that I'm wrong, okay? The Raiders aren't going to be playing in Vegas for two more years, this season and next season. So why would that thinking have any issue on what is happening this year or next year?
That's correct. Yeah, and you're right. And one more thing, Grant. I mean, you know, like the last caller, you know, I've been a Raider fan for over 40 years, and you know, my kids, my families were all Raider fans. And as far as Raider fans, we're going to be fans forever. I don't care if they move to Egypt. I don't. My thinking is it's good for the team because they're actually going to be able to play in a nice Coliseum, and it's going to be good for the fans because they're going to get a different, you know, a lot better, game to watch. You go to the Coliseum and it's horrible. You can't take your kids there. It's a dump. I mean, the place was a total dump. At least this place is going to be nice. It's going to be new, and it's going to be a good experience for your family.
Well, I'll tell you, you better have a lot of money if you're taking your family to a game in Vegas. That's all I'm going to say, because the ticket prices are going to be through the roof. But hey, I really appreciate the call. Thank you very much. We get to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Grant, how's it going?
Chris, I'm well. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I was talking about the Raiders. Everybody is upset. I know. I love Papa. He was great. They are trying to change. I mean, there's not going to be a black hole. It's going to be all corporate in Las Vegas, which, you know, they had $750 million to give. Oakland had zero. I mean, who's not going to take that opportunity? I understand that. It's all business. But the heart is still going to be Oakland. They're the Oakland Raiders. They might be Las Vegas for the money part, but when you really think about the Raiders, the true fans and the true thing is all going to be Oakland Raiders. That's fine. They'll be playing Las Vegas. I'm not hurt over that. I would take the $750 million as well. So, I mean, I'm still going to be a fan. It's branded on me. I have it tattooed. They're still my team.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day.
You too, Grant.
Thank you. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And I think that caller, Chris, is in the majority, not the minority. But as you know, if you listen to my show on a fairly regular basis, I took a lot of phone calls upon the announcement of the Raiders' move to Vegas. I took a lot of phone calls from Raiders fans that said they were done. I talked about the person that I work with here, who has been never missed a game with he and his brother as season tickets, said they would never go to another game. And I will just tell you that there are those that are done with the Raiders. I do think they're in the minority, but it was more than I thought. All right? More than I thought. Let's just put it that way. All right, 339 1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody just texted me about Bielitsa. Are the Kings going to sign him? I have no information on whether they are going to sign him or not. And as far as do I think he's going to be a good fit, I can only tell you that I spoke to Jim Peterson, who is the longtime television announcer analyst for the Timberwolves, and he loves the guy, very high on him for his basketball skills. So if the Kings sign Bielitsa, I will make sure that we get Jim Peterson on, because he watched them play every night. I didn't, but I'm not doing that until he is signed, and I don't know if that is forthcoming or not. I do know this: he can shoot the ball very well, and the Kings certainly would get a small forward and a guy that's a stretch four. And so I would be fine with Bielitsa. I think it would be a very good signing if they could pick him up. But again, as of right now at 4:53, on Thursday, July 19th, there is no such news. I'd rather have him than Carmelo Anthony, I'll tell you that. I just do not understand it. I don't understand Carmelo Anthony and the Houston Rockets if that is to occur. I don't know what Atlanta's thinking either. I really don't. I think the Thunder made a great move today. I really do. I think that Dennis Schroeder is going to be perfect for the Thunder. The way he plays with that team, backing up Russ, and at times can be on the floor with Russ, I think that's a very good move. I think that's a positive move. I think if you're a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder, you're going to be pretty happy today. I think they're going to be a better team without Carmelo Anthony and with Dennis Schroeder. I really do. Do I think they're good enough to win the West? No, I don't. But I think they have a chance to be pretty good. All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The Golf Hour is coming up at 6. We will talk about the Open Championship, which is going on in Carnoustie, Scotland. And we've got a couple of guests. And I've also got a travel segment that is coming up at 6 that's right in our backyard. And it is Tahoe Golf. And if you want to get out of this heat and play gorgeous, and I mean beautiful, gorgeous golf courses, there are so many to choose from in the Tahoe region. And I have had the opportunity to play a lot of them, and it is an easy drive up there. So we're going to talk about that as well coming up at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, 2 hours in the books, 2 hours left on Sports 1140 KHTK.